Well, they're heading off. Can you guys please open your Bibles to the book of Philippians? Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, looking at verses 10 to 19. I know. He loves his mommy. And who knows, he might be back. That's okay. I could put him to sleep with my voice. But not any of you adults. No way. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we look to Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 20. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. So Paul is in prison, the Apostle Paul. He's in prison under Roman occupation. And he writes to this church to encourage them, but in this portion of the letter, he is thanking them. You have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment, and even more, I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Verse 19, and my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. And everybody said amen. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we look to God's word, as we just keep in mind and keep your Bibles open to that passage, let me just begin this morning by talking to you about a man named Brother Andrew. Andrew Vanderbeesch, and he was a Dutch Christian missionary. Everyone ever heard of Brother Andrew, the God smuggler? Okay. Well, he died in 2022 at the age of 94 and was famous for smuggling Bibles and other Christian literature into Eastern Europe during the Iron Curtain, during the Cold War days. Countries like Romania, Yugoslavia, Eastern Germany. And so he earned the nickname God Smuggler for doing just that, bringing in Bibles to countries that were closed to Christianity. And his testimony is a wonderfully encouraging example of someone who continued to hold fast. In that song that Ken sang for us last week, right? What a blessing. He held fast to the Lord, to God's faithfulness, and to God's provision despite constant adversity. And Brother Andrew had several favorite Bible verses, but one that most was significant to him that defined his life's work was Isaiah 41, verse 10, which says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, because I am your God. I will make you strong and help you." Isn't that a great word? Perhaps that's your favorite, one of your favorite verses as well. So Brother Andrew lived during the rise of communism, and when in many Eastern European countries it was illegal to practice Christianity, and his mission, his call from God, was to deliver Bibles and hope to the persecuted church in those dark days. And God provided for him in wonderful ways, and one time, on one occasion, faithful Christian friends were able to supply him with, yes, a new Volkswagen Beetle. That was the car that he used, right up there. That's him, and that's his car. And on one occasion, Andrew found himself on the Yugoslavia border with a car packed full of Bibles and tracts, and he's about to enter the communist country where such material was strictly forbidden. If he was caught, imprisoned, perhaps even killed. But it was here And often at these checkpoints, enter into these countries, that he would pray what would become a countless prayer that he would pray over and over again as he's crossing these communist borders. And this was his prayer. Lord, in my luggage, I have scripture that I want to take to your children across this border. When you were on earth, you made blind eyes see. Now I pray, make seeing eyes blind. Do not let the guards see those things that you do not want them to see. And on this occasion, on this particular Yugoslavia border, two guards asked him, and I'm sure there are often times he got a free pass, but on this occasion, they were going to have him empty out all that he had with him. And so there they do. They took his suitcase, his belongings, and they're ruffling through it all, and there were Bibles stacked all through his car. Christian literature everywhere, piles of tracts in plain sight. However, the guards paid no attention to them. You wonder why, right? God closed their eyes. And then he was allowed into the country. So God provided for Brother Andrew in an amazing way. Not just on that occasion, right? God constantly would close their eyes so that they would not see what he was doing. And God used him. And the Lord provided for him. What a great testimony. And so this morning, I want us to look at one of the most grandest, most encouraging promises in all of the Bible, and it is from Philippians 4:19. Can we say it together? But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's the promise. What a wonderful promise. And maybe this morning you need to take some time to really meditate on this promise, because I know, without a doubt, all of us have some needs. And God is great in supplying for them. Let's briefly consider the background of this book. And I kind of mentioned a little bit already, but the book of Philippians was written, again, under divine inspiration by the Apostle Paul. It was a letter that he wrote while he was imprisoned in Rome. And here in chapter 4, Paul is thanking his friends, the church, in a place called Philippi, a city hundreds of miles away from where he was imprisoned. And he's thanking them for the gifts that they sent to him recently and in the past. And it is in that context that he, as God directs him, records the wonderful promise of Philippians 4:19. Now, what happened in Brother Andrew's life was what this verse holds for us today, that we can claim as followers of Jesus Christ. This promise that my God shall supply for all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And God has revealed in his word many, 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 many precious and wonderful promises. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we are to claim them and take hold of them. There are hundreds, hundreds of promises God makes to us in the Bible. Let me just list a few. Number one, from Romans 8:28, I will work all things out for your good. You know that one? How about the one I already said, Isaiah 41:10, I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. In 1 John 1 verse 9, I will always forgive you when you confess your sins to me. How about a fourth one? In Psalm 34, I will deliver you from all your troubles. The promises of God are listed all through the Bible. And God's promises to believers, What are they like? They're like beacons of light that guide us safely to our destination. And they provide comfort and they provide strength along the way. And those who diligently seek God's written word, the Bible, and seek out and find these promises, take hold of them, their lives are greatly blessed. Their lives are greatly encouraged, as I'm sure many of you can testify to this morning. Christian author David Jeremiah once said, the promises of God are his guarantees amid life's uncertainties. They're the basis of all our life and faith. What a great quote. That speaks so truly to how important God's promises are in our life. And I love how verse 2 of the hymn, you know the hymn, Standing on the Promises? It's in our hymn books. Verse 2 goes like this, Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. So let's look at what God promises to believers here in this verse, this one verse, Philippians 4:19, and then some important conditions, because there are conditions to this promise that go along with it. Number one, the provision of the promise. And here we learn once again that God is our great provider, because this is what this verse teaches us about the character of God. And when you're doing a Bible study, always start with that question: what is this passage teaching me about the character of God? God is our great provider. History is full of testimonies from the people of God who have found him to be just that, the great provider. In Hebrew, what is the name of God that goes with that? Jehovah Jireh. In Hebrew, that means the Lord, the provider. And in fact, the name Jehovah Jireh came first from the book of Genesis, chapter 22. When the Lord asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac on Mount Moriah, and when Isaac asked Abraham, like, "Father, where's the lamb?" Abraham told him, "God will provide for himself the lamb." And of course, when they got to the mountain and Abraham was about to make the sacrifice of his son as a test of his faith in God, God then provided in the thicket a ram. And he sacrificed that ram instead of his son. In Genesis 22:14, in that moment, Abraham called that name of the place, "The Lord will provide." Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, the provider. And all through history, God has been Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, the provider for his people. And we could go on and on all weekend about where in Scripture we see the Lord providing for his people. But one example I do want to take to you in the Old Testament is in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 7 to 16. Here we learn about the widow of Zarephath. Now imagine with me, your cupboards are empty of food. You have run out completely. You have a child that is constantly nagging you because he's hungry. Not an easy place to be as a parent, right? You're heartbroken and you wish you had food, but you didn't have any. And this was the widow of Zarephath. We don't even know her name. She's a widow from Zarephath, this place. And so her shelves are bare. You have no idea where you're going to get your next meal. And this is what happened to the widow of Zarephath. God brings into her life the prophet Elijah. And God said, go to Zarephath, where God would provide for him in another very unlikely way. And so the Lord had commanded then this poor mother and widow to feed this strange prophet a meal. And she had like no food left. In fact, what the text tells us is that she had been planning her last meal and her son before they would die. So what is she going to do? Well, Elijah gives her some instruction. And I'm going to read to you a bit of this incredible passage where we learn about the Lord providing. So in 1 Kings 7, verses 17, verses 7, 13 to 14, this is what Elijah says. Elijah said to the widow of Zarephath, you know, she's got nothing left, but he is asking her to provide him with some meal. "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, as I have told you. But first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." So Elijah makes this miraculous promise. The widow's flour and oil would not run out until God brought rain. So what would the widow do in that situation? What would you do? This is a messenger of God. He's declared himself a prophet. Would you believe? Would you trust? And would you obey? And this is what she did. She trusted in God's promise, acting in obedience. And as we read later on in verse 15, she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the Lord, the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. So God provided as she trusted and obeyed, and she lived by faith, not by sight. So think of your own life. Consider what has you feeling helpless and hopeless today. It might not be that you lack food and your fridge is empty, but maybe. But maybe something else is lacking in your life that you do not have. Could it be peace? You know, could it be hope? How is it that you're feeling helpless today? Health, strength. Perhaps you've been struggling with a lack of patience. Self-control. There are times when we are called to walk by faith and not by sight. And if your way seems troubled, if your way seems a little bit hopeless this morning, first of all, I'm glad you're here. And everybody around you is as well. But turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord and ask him to help you. Trust in him to deliver you. The scriptures show us over and over again that we have a God who delights to provide for his children. However, this provision is dependent on us learning to give first place. Okay, that's number one in our hearts to him and his kingdom. And this is the spiritual lesson that Jesus gives us in Matthew 6:33. If you know it, say it with me. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see the provision that comes with the condition. The God we serve, the God of the Bible, is a heavenly Father who provides for the needs of his children. And as many of you have undoubtedly experienced personally as well, praise him when he provides. That matures your faith. So first we see the provision of the promise. Next, we learn the conditions of the promise. Now, Philippians 4:19 is a grand promise from God's word, but we need to understand not only the provision that is promised, but also the conditions of that promise. So some who would claim this promise need to look at the context of this verse and some of the conditions that go along with it. So let's look at this and see if you are in a position this morning to claim this promise that God provides for us in here. First of all, the relationship that is fundamental to the promise. So if you look at the verse again, verse 19, right from the beginning, it begins with two very important words. What are they? And my God, right? My God. Focus on what Paul says. Paul says, my God shall supply your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So Paul speaks here of God as, again, his God. He says, my God, and this is not just some God. This is not just his God, the God with whom he has a personal relationship through faith in Christ. It is my God. He speaks very specific, and he speaks very personal. He makes it very personal. And then he says this promise, it is in accordance to his riches in Christ Jesus. So this promise is in Christ Jesus. The promise of God's provision is not just for anyone. It is a promise for those who are, again, in Christ Jesus. So in other words, this is a promise for born-again believers, followers of Christ, for people who have given their lives to Jesus as their Savior and Lord. You see that quite clearly, don't you? My God, Paul says. Paul, whom he calls my God, is the one true living God who made the heavens and the earth and everything that is in it, including you and including me and the needs of your kids and the needs of each other every day. And so that is why he made us. God makes us. But the problem is, of course, yes, God wants to provide for us and he wants us to live forever in heaven with him. Thank you, Paul, for that song. But the problem is we have all sinned against God, and Isaiah says your sins have caused a separation between you and God. But God solved the problem of our sin, praise the Lord, by coming to earth in the person of Jesus Christ and dying on the cross in our place as a sacrifice for our sins. And just a moment, at communion, we will give thanks once again in remembrance for this incredible sacrifice that allows us to have the greatest gift ever given to man, Jesus Christ. But God, Jehovah Jireh, not only provides for our physical needs, but in the great gospel message, we learn, most importantly, God provides for our spiritual needs. My spiritual needs, your spiritual needs. And he provided that sacrifice that paid for our sins in Christ. So now whoever will repent of their sins and put their trust in Jesus as their Lord will be saved. That is what it means when Paul says to be in Christ Jesus. That is the first thing you need to make sure of here. And before you leave, can you say that you are in Christ Jesus? If you can, you can take communion. And if you are, you can continue to serve and be a follower of Christ into this world in his name. Can you call the God of the Bible, as Paul just said, my God? You know, after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to Thomas. Remember Thomas? Doubting Thomas. And Thomas, after Jesus showed himself and said, here, feel where the nails went into my hand. What was Thomas's reply? My Lord and my God. You can't get any more specific and personal right in that moment as well. Thomas rightly addressed the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, yes, this morning, are you in Christ? And if you are, then you can claim this promise in 4:19. Number two, the need that is specified, because we need to notice here that it says, my God shall supply all your what? Needs, according to his riches and glory. And he does not say that he will supply all your wants. There's a big difference, isn't there, between our needs and our wants. What do you want today? What do you really need, right? And I'm sure we all want something that we don't need. More material possessions, more wealth, more control, more sleep. But again, what we all need more of each and every day is God. He is our greatest need every day. And really, this all goes back to where, you know, we're seeking to find satisfaction in life. And in the God who made us, you will only truly be satisfied in him. Listen, we all chase after satisfaction, that's for sure. But what the world often offers in satisfaction, towards our satisfaction, is temporary. But nothing satisfies like Jesus, because what Jesus offers is eternal. And it never runs dry. John 6, verse 35. Listen to what Jesus said. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. So again, yes, sadly, often in this world, we turn, instead of to Jesus, we turn to pleasure and fame, sports, drugs, alcohol. Some people even turn to false philosophies and religion, hoping that these will lead them to a truth that will fill the empty place in their lives. And maybe for a time, they might have found what they have been looking for, but in the end, they're just as empty as they were at the beginning. Isn't that so true? But in John 6:35, we learn again that only God can satisfy our inner spiritual hunger, because he is the way, the only truth, and the only life. And as we turn to him by faith, right, and open our hearts to him and our lives to him, Christ's transforming power will make you into a new creation where you will never hunger and thirst again spiritually. And the last point is the givers to whom it is addressed. And we need to really know this about this promise in this short verse, because this is the most crucial element to understand in this verse, because the context of this verse has a lot to say to us about whether we can really apply this verse to our lives and our situation. So in the original context, to whom was Paul writing here? The church at Philippi. He is writing to Christians. But second, I believe this is real key here. Paul was writing to a church of people who themselves were meeting Paul's needs as he was out ministering for God's kingdom miles and miles away. So look at the instances of that in this passage, and we see multiple evidences of their giving to his ministry. We see time and time again Paul referencing to them from verses 10 all through to 18. Paul is saying, you have given to me. You have sacrificed for me. You have sent gifts to me. So even when he wasn't in prison, they had been sending him gifts to support him in his ministry. Then in verse 18, he says of their most recent gift to him in prison, I have received everything in full and have an abundance. So at least five times here at the end of Philippians chapter 4, Paul mentions how the Philippian church had given support to him in his ministry. Well, how? Well, Their gift to Paul was twofold. They supported Paul financially, because when you're in a Roman prison, they're not going to pay for your meal. They're not going to pay for your clothes. You need that outside support. And so Paul received it from this church. He received it because of the second way that they supported him, by sending him a helper. Can you say his name like the way it's written? Epaphroditus. There's a name. Work on that. And so he was there as a helper, looking after Paul, bringing the gift so that Paul had a quality of life in prison. And so it is in that context then that Paul could now turn to them and say, "And now God, will my God, will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus." So you see how the context really brings out that promise even more. Paul is making the promise specifically to people who have been meeting the needs of God's kingdom. He's been saying, "You've been meeting my needs, and now God is going to meet your needs according to his riches." So the context is really important. If we want to be able to claim the promises that these people had, then we need to be the kind of people that the Philippian church was, in giving, in blessing, consistently supporting God's kingdom work. Now, you might be wondering, well, how can I do that? How can I give to God's kingdom work today? Well, there are a number of ways. You can serve one another with your gifts and talents in the church, in our community. You can build each other up and encourage one another. When we become aware of a need someone has, we can do something about it. Whether it's taking someone out for a coffee or visiting a shut-in, cooking a meal for someone, or writing an encouragement note. Another way we can support God's kingdom, of course, is through our basic tithe. And the word tithe literally means 10%. In the Old Testament, we recognize that God is the ultimate source of everything that we have. And by giving him back that first 10% of everything we have, that is an example of giving towards God's kingdom. But other examples could be the shoebox? Is that an example? Absolutely. Samaritan's purse. Supporting missionaries, Christian orphanages. The Lord will, I believe, direct you when you ask him, "How can I support his kingdom work on earth today?" And back that up with Philippians 4:19, because God is a great provider. Now, another devoted follower of Christ Jesus was Dr. Helen Rosevere, another wonderful servant, a missionary to Africa, and this is how we're going to close. And she tells the story of a time when she was ministering to the orphans in the Congo in the 1950s, and she writes that there was a mother at our mission station who died after giving birth to a premature baby. And we tried to improvise an incubator to keep the infant alive, but the only hot water bottle we had was beyond repair. And so Helen goes on to say, we asked the children in the orphanage to pray that the Lord would help the baby and provide for us and for this baby's little sister. Well, one of the little orphanage girls responded, "Dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late because by then the baby will be dead. And dear Lord, send a doll for the little sister so she won't feel so lonely." Simple little prayer. Well, that afternoon, a large package arrived from England. The children watched eagerly as we opened it, and much to their surprise, under some clothing was a hot water bottle. And immediately the girl who prayed so earnestly started to dig deeper, exclaiming, "If God sent that, I am sure he also sent a doll." And she was right. There was also a doll at the bottom of the package. So our Heavenly Father knew. He knew in advance of this need. It took 5 months for that ship to get to that part of the world. 5 months earlier, he had led a Sunday school group back in England to include both of these specific items in this care package for Dr. Helen Rosevere and her mission in Africa. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he, Jehovah Jireh. So are you fully trusting God this hour with your situation? The Bible is full of God's promises. Let us claim them and hold on to them. Let us trust in him. And when you do, you will experience God's provision for all your needs.